T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Buster Olney of ESPN joins us on the Harbor One hotline. Good afternoon, Buster. And let me ask you the question I just asked Rich Keefe. Did we learn anything about the Astros or the Red Sox in these first two games of this series that we didn't really already know?
Oh, without a doubt that the Astros situation with their starting pitching is something that they might not be able to overcome. I can't remember a situation where I've seen a, you know, playoff team basically lose 3 starting pitchers in the way that the Astros have, you know, from Zach Greinke going down to McCullers going down to the other day, you know, game 2 losing their starter early on. And if you're Dusty Baker and you're sitting here now, you're wondering where you're going to get innings from. It's an open question. It's funny. A lot of teams now are using this opener strategy. You know, it used to be staffs had a long man and there was more depth. But now where the Astros sit, they're going to have to rely on so many guys pitching in, you know, who are not necessarily trained to pitch deeper into games. And it's going to be a real challenge for them.
Well, it's funny you say that, Buster, because here in Boston, we're looking at the Red Sox staff and we, they got like one real starter and it seems like guys are getting these quick hooks and they're kind of struggling. You don't know who to rely on. But is it fair to say that the 13 pitchers for the Red Sox right now are better than the 13 pitchers for the Astros?
I don't think there's any question about it, especially with all the, potential injury concerns on the Astros side where you wonder, how they're going to respond. Where on the other hand, with the Red Sox, you do at least have the one guy in Eovaldi where you feel like, okay, when he pitches, he's a guy who can give you, 5, 6, 7 innings. They do have some guys who seem prepared to, go into the middle innings if you needed them to. If Pivetta starts at game 4, it wouldn't shock anybody if he were to throw 4 or 5 innings. If Houck were to be asked to go 4 or 5 innings, he can do that. On Dusty's side, I don't know if he's necessarily got a lot of options like that. He's going to have to rely. I mean, think of it like, a sprint relay team. It's almost like the Astros have to rely on 6 or 7 guys in most of these games going forward. And that's going to be difficult because you're talking about having to rely on a soft underbelly of your staff as opposed to, one guy like Eovaldi taking on a bunch of innings.
Buster Olney of ESPN. He is the National Baseball Insider, and he's with Gresham Keefe here on the Harbor One Hotline. What did you make of Alex Cora's decision to start Chris Sale in game 1?
I think it was about him trying to find out information early on. Okay, what can Sale give us? I'm sure that they hoped that with the adjustments they talked about, with him being more upright, that he would be better, and he wasn't. He gave him something, but I think that Alex, as he moves forward now, they can feel like, okay, we've learned about Chris Sale, that he's followed the same trajectory that a lot of guys coming back from Tommy John surgery have followed, in that there is regression. And maybe as we saw in 2018 when they won the World Series, maybe there's going to be some spots where Sale can help them, match up against a certain hitter in a big moment. Maybe it's going to be Brantley where you could call on him to get, a big out. But the idea that, Sale is necessarily going to be a guy who's going to go 5 or 6 innings, I got to believe that after what we saw the other day, that's not something Alex is going to count on.
Where do you think the Red Sox turn for their starter in game 4 and game 5 if it's not Sale?
Well, I would expect that the way that it came up the other day, and I was not down in Houston, but I had Dan Shulman, who's doing play-by-play on ESPN radio for the series. He said that when they were doing the post-game show, or the post-game wrap-up after game 2, they looked out in the Red Sox bullpen and Pivetta was throwing. And if you track that, what that could mean is that Pivetta potentially could be their starter in game 4, because that would be the the sort of schedule that you would keep if that's what you're going to do. Now, you know Alex well enough to know that if Erod goes out tonight and he doesn't throw well early and he needs to reach for somebody, he would reach for Pivetta because I think he has confidence in the other guys, but I think Pivetta potentially could be a guy to watch for in game four. And in game five, it'll just depend in part on what happens the next two nights.
Buster Olney of ESPN with Gresh and Keefe. He's with us on the Harbor One Hotline. Are you anticipating any major lineup changes on either side here for these games at Fenway Park?
No, not necessarily. Because the offense isn't a concern for either side at this point. It's all about what they can get out of their pitching. And by the way, you know what I mentioned before about not necessarily knowing for sure who's going to start in a game five. I mean, welcome to baseball in 2021, mm-hmm. right? Where you mm-hmm. see the Dodgers, decide the day before game five of the division series against the Giants. You know what? We're going to go with Corey Knebel. He's going to be the guy who's going to start. And then we're going to finish with Max Scherzer for his first career save. That's what they did again in game one of the NLCS against the Braves. I think all of these teams are getting accustomed to this idea of, we can stitch together 27 outs some way or some fashion. I just think that some teams are better equipped to do it. I think in this moment, the Red Sox are better equipped to do that with the group that they have than the Astros, and maybe the Braves are better equipped to do it because they have more innings out of their starters than the Dodgers do at this point.
Big picture, Buster, I was wondering, looking at this ALCS, there's basically one starter between the two teams that you expect to go more than five innings. Like, not seven, right. but five. Will there be in the off season or the next couple of off seasons sort of this push where GMs say, why would I spend $15, $20, $25, $30 million on a starter where chances are I'm just going to be doing bullpen games in the playoffs anyway?
That is absolutely a legitimate question for 10,000 feet, okay, if you look at it from above. I can tell you there's a conversation going on at 30,000 feet where people in the sport are saying, is this really a good product? Is this where we want to go? I was at the All-Star game this year, and an officer in the union came up to me and said, hey, what do you think about the number of pitchers being used? And I said, I'll tell you what, everybody I talked to at the team level believes it stinks. They hate it. They hate the parade of relievers because, guys, we all grew up with, Sandy Koufax versus Bob Gibson, with Pedro Martinez against Roger Clemens. They were the headliners. And not only is it not great for the product, it's not great for the union, to exactly your point that, you know what, the value of starting pitchers are being diminished. Teams are saying, you know what, it's better to pay 10 relievers $1 million apiece than invest $25 million in one starting pitcher. And the union knows this, which is why I think there's going to be a conversation from a very big picture level of how can there be a way to restrict the number of pitchers used in each game. My idea has been to say going into a 9-inning game, managers are limited to either 4 or 5 pitchers per 9 innings with obvious exceptions for blowouts and injuries. I think the sport's going to need it because while it's a fun game for, you know, some managers and pitching coaches maybe to play it in these moments, from a product standpoint, I think it's terrible for baseball.
Buster, so in a weird way, might there be people behind the scenes in the game rooting for a guy like a Max Scherzer to kind of remind everyone, a la the Giants and Madison Bumgarner, Wainwright in St. Louis, that, hey, having the stud starter who you know could give you 7 innings, but also could come back 2 days later and maybe close it out in the back end of a game for you, a la Schilling, you know, in the early 2000s.
Right.
Are there people maybe in the game rooting that, hey, I don't care who wins, but if Scherzer's a stud, it's going to remind everybody the value of starters?
I think that, generally speaking, at the team level, that people would love to see in moments a return back to those days when Madison Bumgarner is the Hulk Hogan of the sport. No question about when Pedro Martinez is the Hulk Hogan of the sport. And they understand why managers do what they do. They know, you know, why the Rays started the opener strategy. They know it's worked for a lot of teams. It's worked in a moment like we did with the Dodgers and Scherzer the other night. But they also know it's not something that can draw in casual fans. to have a parade of relievers that no one's ever going to know or talk about, you know, 10 years from now is not something that can be sustainable for baseball.
And this may also not be sustainable, but it's been a hell of a run. Kike Hernandez is the hottest player in baseball, and it's been so fun to watch him in the series against Tampa, where if they gave out an ALDS MVP, he probably would have won it. And he's only been better here in the series against Houston. It's pretty interesting, Buster, that it seems like every couple of years there's a non-All-Star that just looks like a Hall of Famer in the playoffs, and right now that's what Hernandez is doing.
He's killing it. It reminds me, you guys, in 2015 when Daniel Murphy, it felt like he was hitting a home run every plate appearance for the Mets. He goes off. It's the fun part of October where we can all ask ourselves the question, okay, who's going to be the surprising hero today? You know, who's going to step up? And I got to believe that their general managers around baseball, maybe even within the Dodgers organization, saying, why didn't we sign this guy? The idea that Kike Hernandez is having this type of success on a two-year, $14 million contract when he clearly is a player worth more than that because of you know, his track record. And I remember talking to Alex Cora in the spring about when they signed him, and he said, look, we want versatile guys, and we want guys who've won before. And Kike Hernandez, when these playoffs are going on, his heart rate's at 60 when a lot of other guys are going 120. And that's, you know, he's been tremendous for the Red Sox.
Buster, I know we're up against it here, but the Braves have a 2-0 series lead in the NLCS over the Dodgers. Are the Dodgers in real trouble, or is this the proverbial, we got them right where we want them?
Yeah, and I got to tell you guys, going into the LCS rounds, I think I got every pick wrong. As you know, I picked the Yankees to beat the Red Sox. I beat the Rays to beat the Red Sox. So my track record is not good. In this round, I picked the Red Sox to beat the Astros, and I picked the Braves to beat the Dodgers. I do think the Dodgers are in trouble. I think the fact that they went into the LCS with their pitching kind of a jumbled because of how they were extended in that series against San Francisco could be difference-making. And the fact is, as great as the Dodgers, you know, how many great players they have, they're not as good as they were last year. Their offense is not as good. They don't have as much margin for error. I think Max Muncy getting hurt on the eve of the playoffs was absolutely devastating for them because in the middle of every, you know, pass through the lineup, he would always throw out a great plate appearance. He would stress the opposing pitchers. And to not have him, I think, is going to hurt them in this series.
Buster, thanks for the time. Do you try to avoid Rob Bradford over there at Fenway like we do? You know, like a guy who looks like he's homeless walking up to you wanting to talk baseball?
You know, I do, but, you know, we've known each other for so long, I just have to put up with him for a few minutes, and then I can move on.
Kind of like us polite. Here at WEI. Yeah. There you go. Hey, Buster, thanks for the time again. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you, sir.
Okay, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Buster.
And we got a little dig at Bradford in there.
Perfect.
From Buster. Perfect.
I'm-